I think we're podcasting, Kristen. We're doing it.
We're doing it.
Listen, rate, review, subscribe. You can find us wherever you find podcasts. And you can find us on YouTube. And you can go to imomsohard.com and get those tour tickets, ladies.
But more importantly, we're gonna start off this podcast hot.
We're just gonna start off hot? Okay.
We're gonna start this podcast episode with a hot flash.
Great, because I tell you, we all need to thaw out a little bit because it's like January 67th. It's so cold everywhere and we're so in it. I need something to spice me up a little bit.
I'm going to tell you right now, January is the never-ending month.
Never-ending.
Everybody says December is like Mom-cember, which I get it. But to me, December flies too fast and I'm
Same.
Not caught up.
Yeah.
But January always feels like, are they back to school yet? Are we done?
We're going to have a guest too today, which is huge for us. We promised that January would bring about guests. So we're going to bring on a super fun gal later on in the episode. But right now we're going to talk about what's going on in Kristen's pants. Kristen has a very important hot flash.
I feel like this is a public service announcement.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about heated rivalry. I know some of you are like, oh my God, eye roll, but some of you get it. And I feel like there's two parts of my life. What I was like before heated rivalry and who I am now.
Oh boy.
And I also feel like maybe my brain chemistry has changed like for the good. Everything.
Holy cow.
Life is in Technicolor. Okay. And I'm not even on... I'm not even on anything.
Wait, but I want to talk about... No mushrooms? That's what it sounds like.
No, I wish. Okay. If you don't know, I don't know if you've been under a rock, but if you don't know about the show Heated Rivalry, it is on HBO. It is a show that is about these two rival hockey players, dudes who fall in love later in the episodes. But in the beginning, it's just sexy time. Okay.
I have heard a lot about this because Kristen is obsessed and I keep trying to relay to her that there is never a time that there is not a 10-year-old looking over my shoulder to see what it is I'm looking at on my screen. So I'm waiting till I go out of town and then I'm going to binge this thing.
Let me just say, Heated Rivalry, when I say it's rated R, it's rated R. And when I heard about it at first, I knew that it was about like these two dudes that fall in love. And it wasn't that I was like, oh no. I just was like, I don't know if that's going to be.
Can I relate?
And also, is it going to give me the thing that I'm looking for in like the romantic space and also the like who space? And the answer is.
Do you mean the masturbatory space?
Yes. Ilya and Shane Hollander are the two characters. The actors are Connor Story is the like blonde Russian and Hudson Williams is the like dark haired cute, like they're both so gorgeous. This story is about these two rival teams and these two players figure out that they're into each other. It's not aggressive, it's just that they desire each other. And unrelenting, unobstructed desire is for us women, it's like the secret sauce. It makes your skin burn. It is everything that's good in the way we feel when we're like totally turned on. Okay.
Okay.
And so my hot flash for tonight, I'm going to reserve it for Connor Story because he's the blonde Russian.
Okay.
They
okay.
call him the new Patrick Swayze.
Well, I think the thing that we can all relate to is how hot hockey players are just in general. I mean, I know not everybody thinks that, but I like a guy missing a tooth. I like a tough looking guy. You know, I like a guy who does rodeo. Like any of the dangerous sports is a giant turn on for me.
That's what's so amazing about it is it's so all of those things. And then it's about two men falling in love. It's like it like goes full circle. It shows us how like that we're not a straight line, that we're like, you know, I don't want to scare anybody and use the word fluid, but there are things that like, you know, sexuality and what you desire is not, it's just the internal in you of what you're like attracted to. It's whatever that is. So it's so fucking unapologetic and fun and sexy and cool. And the story is there and there's a beeline story that's incredible. There's the acting is superb. It's a fucking plus.
My sexuality at one point anything in the sexual space was more fluid than it is now. It's more like a dry canal.
But it, that for is, us women of a certain age, man, I was like, she's there. She's been there the whole time.
I am just fucking annoyed
with the person she's with.
I am all about, for 2026, like, finding the motivation or don't and fucking do it anyway, okay? Like, this is what I'm all about. And oddly, one of my friends who has, he has two girls, they're in hockey. So I don't know, like, how everything in my life is hockey
revolving
related right
around
now.
Hockey, because it's hottie. Yeah. It's hockey so hottie.
It isn't specifically about hockey, but I haven't seen him in a while. He's a friend of mine that I've had for like 20 years. And then Britt steals all of my friends. My husband just lets me lay the groundwork. And then I think because he like texts and calls back, people are like, I'll stick with Britt because he's a good friend to have. So this guy came over to see Britt and he was telling me about hockey. And he was like, here's my favorite part about girls playing hockey. And he goes, and I know how boomer this is, but I'm going to implement this. And sidebar, sometimes I feel like God speaks to me just like in random ways. Like I don't hear his voice, but like when I met Gene Simmons, I was like, I think this is a direct message from God, because I was in Los Angeles and I saw Gene Simmons, lead singer of Kiss, at a yogurt shop with a parrot on his shoulder. And he was like, hi. Like he initiated conversation with me. I was a huge Kiss fan growing up. I used to keep my crayons in a Kiss lunchbox. I get in trouble because I had this like cute white provincial furniture that like I stuck Kiss stickers all over. My mom was so pissed off about it, but I was like, I love Kiss. So when I was like trying to decide, should I move to Los Angeles? And I see him at this yogurt shop and he talks to me and he was like, what's wrong, dear? I can tell something's wrong. And I was like,
Then he was like, here, hold my wiener.
Basically, I knew that was going to come. But that didn't actually happen. But he was like, I go, well, I'm, you know, thinking about moving to LA and it's really expensive and I'd be coming out on my own and everything. He goes, you must move here. I can tell. And I was like, I think that is God directly.
It sounds like him. Freaking, no, wait a minute. How did we get from here to hockey?
Oh, just I'm talking about God talking to me in weird ways. But my friend was talking about hockey and I needed to hear this thing that he said. He's talking about having his daughters in hockey and there's this sign up in their locker room and it says, this is the quote, this is a motivational quote, nobody cares, try harder. And I was like, you know what? Like the day that I was talking to him, I really felt like he had kicked me in the ass, because I get so in my head about be gentle with yourself, like give yourself space. But that felt like something like that my boomer parents would have said. And
boomer
it's
parents
true.
Would have said, give yourself space?
No.
Oh, I
no,
was going to say.
They would have said, nobody cares. Try harder. And in a way, like I really felt like saying that to my daughter, because here's some good parenting I did. She hurt herself doing the iPad the other day. She
was
there. Doing it for so long because we were trying to work. We're trying to like have all like, so there are some times, and I don't care if not, you're a better parent than me, where the kid just is going to be on the iPad for a long time. And she sat on the couch, cramped up in a position where she was playing games and talking to her friend and she couldn't move. She injured herself. We've all been there. You know, usually it's when you're older and your legs like cramp up and you're like, why did I think I could kneel and clean something?
But I get what you're saying. I think that that we shit on boomers a lot. But
yes.
But one thing that I know is like they didn't overcomplicate things with feelings. And for that could be a bad thing.
Yes.
But good also sometimes, but sometimes when you're, I just don't think that like as especially when you're a young person, that you should be given so much responsibility for your own feelings. They're just feelings. And when you are hormonal and you're in puberty, you have so many weird feelings. Or even when you have a baby and you're postpartum and you have so many weird feelings, sometimes it's just nice to have someone go, that doesn't mean anything. So, knock it off. Shake it off.
That is exactly what I felt like.
You can do hard things. Like, get up. Stop complaining. I was listening to, I did a deep dive of The Anxious Generation, the book that like everybody should read, which is really hard to read. And it's an unapologetic approach to what's happening with our kids on screens. It's all true. It's all like, there's no defending it. It's just like, you live with this truth that is now this thing. And,
yeah.
And, you know, I think my takeaway from one of those parts of that book was that we are raising kids who cannot problem solve in a moment or sort of get over a hump. And every time you get over a little hump and you do something you didn't think you could do, or you make it through a school day when you didn't feel great, but you could have maybe gone home, like you gain a little bit of grit. So when you go into the world and you have to put yourself out there and it doesn't work out, you're not fucking shattered. Like,
yes.
You know, I worry that like, now I think I tend to be a parent that I tend to be a little bit, probably a little too like get up and shake it off more than the other. And that's just how I was raised. It's my temperament. Like, but I can always tell when, especially my son, if he's really hurt, I can tell.
Right.
If he's really sick, I can tell.
Right.
My daughter works me a little bit easier. She's definitely a little bit more, she totally can work me.
But girls do. They can freak you out.
They can freak you out. But Eleanor, over the Christmas break, she broke her toe. It was a terrible Christmas break. I'll go into that later. But it was a horrible Christmas break. And she started out with the flu. And then she was just over the flu. It took 10 days. It was rough. She was dancing in the kitchen with Finn and broke her toe. And she was on the ground and she was making a sound that actually was funny. I didn't think it was, she was like, oh, oh. And she's like, I think I broke my toe. And I'm in my head, I'm like, you didn't break your toe. And I go, well, just walk around and walk it off.
Yeah.
She's like, I can't walk. I'm like, yeah, you can. And so she's limping. And then she was limping for like 6 hours. And I was like, man, she's really committed to this character.
Right.
And then I looked and her toe is black and she absolutely had broken her toe.
I know. That's the big fear is that you're going to.
But it wasn't. I was like, you broke your toe. There's not much we can do. We're going to go to the doctor. He'll tape you. Guess what he did? He taped her. And I said, you know, you have soccer and you've been, this is several days after the bruising had gone down. And I said, I think you need to go to practice and not kick the ball. You can do running drills. And when it becomes too much, sit out. And she sure did. And like, I was so proud of her. And I think she came back a little stronger for it. And I'm not saying she's running around on a broken foot. It was a broken toe. It had healed for a week. It was a little tender, but she did it anyway. And I think she proved to herself that she's stronger than she thinks. That's really important coding.
I do think that those little physical events that happen, or like an injury or feeling sick or feeling tired or something, are opportunities for you to like I'll say to my kids that Taylor Swift song, I can do it with a broken heart, you know, like you can, because you are in your life going to have things happen that are worse than physical injuries. And you're going to have to like keep going, you know, like it's like when you're a new mom and you're body is wrecked and destroyed after you just gave birth. And then you're going to go through like the Army Ranger training of a newborn, like at night, like you are going to do harder things. And I feel like I'm at the point where I see where like my coddling is really biting me in the ass right now. And I am starting to tell those stories that like my parents used to tell me that like irritate me, where, you know, like I'll say to my kids, I'm like, oh, you have to go to soccer and piano lessons tonight. I used to go to dance class for 8 hours on a Saturday. And sometimes I had blisters in three parts of my toes and I couldn't walk and they'd bleed through my shoes. Like I'm telling like the uphill in both directions stories.
Never want to be the parent that's too aggressive to our kid or too hard on our kid, because you have to look at what age they're at. But there comes a point when you're like I was looking at this age chart of like what your kids should be able to do. And at the age my kids are, they should be able to cook a meal. They should be able to like the shit that they should be able to contribute. I'm like,
Uh-oh.
We're going to step this up. Now, yeah. you have to back off as a parent, and that's hard. You have to not give them what they want, which is a big reaction. You have to give them the space to be independent for a second, and that feels super scary, especially when you're like, are they ready? Like, can I push here? It's that first time feels really hard, but I am a believer that we have gently parented for too long, and because you're adding, it's not just gentle parenting, you're adding in screens and social media. It is the worst time to be a gentle parent. It is time to be, get your ass outside, go do something outside, go dig a hole, go play in the grass, go, I don't care what you do. You don't need to be inside for 2 hours.
I'm not going to fully lean into my parents' parenting style.
Well, that's different. We're not. That's another kind of parenting.
Okay. Speaking of that, we have to introduce Kristen Knudsen.
Oh, that's
because
right.
She does this amazing boomer character that is her mom.
Hey, mom. How's it going?
Hey, honey.
Where are you?
Oh, just sitting. Just hanging out.
What is that beeping sound?
That. Yeah, that's the machines. We're at the hospital.
Why are you at the hospital?
But I didn't want to bother you.
With what?
Well, your dad actually lost a finger. They couldn't save it. It all happened yesterday. But he's in great spirits, though.
Yesterday?
We are so excited to have Kristen here today. New Kristen.
Woo! No.
Hello. Kristen with an E.
Yes.
I noticed you have a different spelling.
We're going to talk about that.
Let's not make this a thing.
Don't want to make it awkward.
I want to make it awkward.
Kristen Knudsen is here with us today. You guys are going to go check out all of her Instagram, all of her social handles and follow her. She's a very funny lady, you guys. It's super intimidating. And she's pretty and I think younger than us. So if you're watching on YouTube, you can see how pretty she is.
Kristen, what's your Instagram handle so people can find you?
It's Call Me Kristen Marie on everything, TikTok, Instagram. Okay. Instagram's where most of my people are.
How Catholic are you?
Oh, so my family is so Catholic.
Because you're Kristen Marie and I'm Kristen Margaret, and it just hits home. I'd also like to say her name is Kristen, spelled with an E, so it is the wrong Kristen. However, growing up, you were the one that could find pencils at a dirty gas station with your name spelled correctly. So welcome, and good for you.
Obviously, Kristen.
I don't know about that.
Oh, you had trouble too?
Yeah, I feel like I saw a little bit of both. It might depend on maybe which state you were in.
Okay, I need to know which state the INs are in because that's my people. And I felt excluded until I found a keychain in Hollywood exactly 2 years ago.
Well, here's how we relate to everybody is where are you from originally?
I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota, originally.
Okay. So that's why when I saw your name, Knudsen. I knew it wasn't Knudsen. What kind? Only somebody from the coastal cities would think it was Knudsen. Because how many Knudsens do you know? Because I know about a million of them. You're probably related if you're Catholic, right?
Thousands. Yeah. So I married into a Wisconsin family, and I feel like it's more Wisconsin than it is Minnesota, but it's a very strong last name in the Midwest.
Can you say Knudsen in the strong Midwestern accent just so everybody can nail it?
Knudsen. I don't know.
Yeah,
there we
That's
go.
Right.
You know, sometimes it comes out, you'll notice, like sometimes in my O's, you'll notice the accent. It comes out pretty strong.
So what I'm going to do is start mimicking the way that you talk and don't take it in an offensive way. I just can't help myself. Like,
okay.
If we were talking to somebody from Texas, I would all of a sudden think I was from there too. So,
you know what? Not offended.
Kristen, we love your videos.
Oh my God.
We think you're really funny and we think we have a lot in common because you must be inspired. You're not just getting these video ideas. They're too specific. You're not getting these video ideas from just sitting at home being like, I'm going to create this character.
Tell us how you got started doing these. They're fantastic. And how long have you been doing it?
Yeah. So I got started shortly after I became a mom. So I have a 4 and 2 year old.
Oof, you're in it.
I'm in it. Yeah. So I started shortly after I became a mom, which was three and a half years ago. And that's when the skit characters were born. So that was when Boomer Mom was born. I was in the throes of it.
Yeah.
And I think my way of coping with the darkness is through comedy. It's just how I heal. So that's when like my true voice in comedy came out, because I was just like so anxious and depressed that Boomer Mom came out pretty strong.
Yeah.
And she's that's great. She's great. So then she's my mom. So yeah, okay. her name is Deb. My mom's name isn't Deb, but that's my character's name. And she is very much my mom. She's this well-intentioned, very loving character who doesn't have any self-awareness, and chaos just kind of follows her everywhere she goes.
Are you sure that that's not my mom?
It's not the mom I was going to talk about. Well-intentioned wasn't on my radar. I related so much. You had this video about how your mother-in-law was like, I want to come help you take care of this newborn baby, and then is totally unavailable at all times. Because I think we all have that. Like, I remember when my son was just born, my husband will make sure I say it's not his mom, it's his dad's wife, who was like, we're going to come and see the baby. We'll be in town for 8 hours. And I was like, you know, in hormonal rage. And I was like, then don't come. I'm not showering and cleaning the house and putting, like, wrestling this newborn into a cute outfit for you to be here for 8 hours. So they came for 2 days. They stayed at a hotel. They went to the Getty Museum, and then they got massages, and she helped me fold one load of clothes. And I was like, yep, that's a boomer mother-in-law for you.
Just full vacation mode.
My mom put a YouTube video on about how I can get my steps just marching in the kitchen.
Yeah, I see that a lot, or they say like, oh, you could use the baby as like an extra weight. You could do squats like the day after you give birth.
Yep.
Yeah. But you're doing that anyway. You are squatting with the baby.
That's very true.
I think they always mean well. I think what it comes down to is they just haven't been there in a long time.
Right.
You know what I mean? I really think like, if they were literally like two, I mean, being around a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old right now, I'm sure I would say something that was like I just couldn't, I can't remember, because you're on to the next milestone, you're on to the next thing as a mother. You get the second that phase of their life leaves your body and leaves your timeline, you're like, I got to learn a new thing. I can't remember what 4-year-olds need. You know, like
there's a word for that.
What is it?
Gramnesia.
Gramnesia.
Have you heard that?
No, I love it. And it's so true.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even as a mom to a 4-year-old, or like I have a sister who has like a 8-year-old, and I would ask her for parenting advice, and even she would be like, I don't know. I don't remember. I'm like, that was like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Lana.
Partly you like, blocked it out.
You got one space in your brain, and half of it's for your kids, and the other half is for like dirty TV.
Let me ask this, because we aren't in the 2 and 4-year-olds. Here's what I remember is they're both mobile and dangerous at this point. Now, are they boys or girls? Because that makes a difference, too.
A girl and a boy.
Okay.
The girl's the 2-year-old, and she's very dangerous.
Okay. Yeah. And boys are just innately dangerous, too. Like, they're...
Correct.
They're made to pull things down on top of them. So,
We call the 4s the fuck you 4s. Have you hit that stage yet? And do you cuss like a filthy heathen?
We do.
I welcome cussing. Boomer Mom would never.
No.
She would never.
Oh, my mom will, but she just thinks it's not. Like, if she does it, it's permission. There's permission there.
If you do it out the side of your mouth, it doesn't count. The Lord can't hear it.
Yeah. So, my mom's way too Catholic. Like, you know, he's inside her brain. Like, he can hear everything. Yeah. You know what I mean? Fuck you, 4s. Yeah. I think the 3s are really the
they're
worst.
They're hard.
They're the worst, because they're still, like, they can't really stand up straight. They get into stuff. They, you know, they're trying to kill themselves. And the 3s are really tough.
They will angrily, like, dress you down and criticize you while crapping their pants sometimes. In which, like, the dichotomy of that is super upsetting. Don't you have like a smart person job also? Are you just doing the videos, or tell us what you're doing while juggling little ones?
So, I mean, yeah, I'm juggling it all. It's a lot of just, you know, writing by night, doing videos by day, trying to do the real person job in between. So it's a little, and then I'm a mom too.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of juggling it all. which is just very, I think, millennial of me. Like, I feel like it's just what, like, oh, I can do it all, but still, you know, not, you know, it's just, there's just, like, we're always striving for perfectionism. And I think motherhood is just, there's so much more pressure on moms today than there was when my mom, like in the 90s, it's just such a different ballgame.
We're solidly Gen X.
Okay. Yeah.
But we feel the exact same because, you know, not to criticize parents, but like we just want to do it differently than our parents did it. And so you do feel the need to like keep all of the balls in the air.
Well, and your kids are at a really challenging age and you're dealing with a lot of new things for the very, very first time. So you're sort of setting the stage for millennial moms.
We want to parent differently than our parents, but at the same time, I think we're so grateful that we didn't have intrusive parents. So it's this constant paradox that you're like, well, I want to do a better job than my parents did, but now I'm so involved in my kids' life that they have, there's like, it's really hard for them to create sort of independence. Mm-hmm. I find that that's like our biggest challenge, especially right now where I have a freshman in high school and he's just now like, just killing us about getting social media. And it's day in, day out battle fight about us saying no. It's constant.
I will say I wish I had been a little less gentle of a gentle parent because now that like my son's going to be like in a month, he's going to be a teenager. He's great. And my daughter's great. I mean, I feel like I have to say that before they throw them both under the bus. But like, they need to toughen up a little bit. Like what we had from our parents was a little bit of, I think we got a little bit of grit, maybe, you know, which allows you, like when Kristen and I started doing I Mom So Hard, we would edit videos once the kids were in bed, once we'd put them down and we would like back and forth these videos till midnight and then put them up, which is just, and what, can you say what your normal person job is? What, like,
yeah, so I work in finance at a tech company.
Oh, God. How do you feel about index funds? It doesn't matter. We're talking about them. Bad?
I don't even know how I ended. I'm like, I'm sort of like the job that I'm in. It's called sourcing. It's like the personality hires of finance. So I can't really like, you know, I'm not like accounting or anything.
You work from home?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's that. If anything good came out of the last 5 or 6 years, it's that like moms can kind of like work from home a little bit. Like,
totally.
I was in a pharmaceutical job when I was pregnant and I looked down at my ankles and I was like, I got to call a doctor. Like, it looked like my legs were going to explode. Like, it was not good. And I'm like huffing and puffing and people would be like, are you okay? You don't look okay. So like, I was
a teacher.
Like, I got to call an ambulance.
Yes. Yeah.
I was a teacher and I was pregnant. Oh, man. My first pregnancy with my son, when you're with your first pregnancy, you're like, I feel like it's all pretend because you're like, how am I? I'm not going to really gain weight, right? Like, this is.
Yeah.
And then I.
And you, by the way, you have your mom being like, I was a size zero when I was that
pregnant.
I just
snapped back right
away. I gained 14 pounds.
Yeah. You got that little voice in the back of your head.
I actually lost weight on the way out. It was.
Yeah.
I gained 80 pounds both pregnancy. I couldn't believe my number on the scale when I literally was like, and I weighed more when I got out because I was retaining water. But I was pregnant both times while being a teacher. And I say that in a high school teacher. And I say that both of my pregnancies was the greatest form of like sex education and deterrence.
Birth control
that I could so give true. To a student. They saw me and they were like, oh, God, you're gross. Like, I got to get an IUD.
High school? Was that
high school English at a school for kids that had been kicked out of public school. So I had really tough.
I commend
you. But they were awesome. I loved it. It was a great place to have a baby and then have a second baby because like I could take them to school and the kids just thought that was so neat. But then I just think it got to a point where I saw a lot of sadness and I was like, I'm at burnout point and if I want to raise these kids. So my husband and I leaned out. We were not making a ton of money. And then Jen and I started doing I Mom So Hard. Not long after I was done teaching, right, Jen?
Because it's such a blur. But you know what?
It's such a blur. There was 2 years in there where I didn't teach. Before we did My Mom's Work.
Anytime you have young ones, you're so focused on keeping them alive that it's hard to keep any timeline straight. Like, it's
totally.
Especially where you're at right now. So your first baby, though, was a preemie, and you have a boring finance job. And did I say boring? That's just...
That wasn't nice.
That's a lot.
I didn't mean for it to be mean.
There's a lot of trauma tied to those two things. But yeah, that's... my first...
I can't...
My first baby, he was a 32-weeker, which is... Ooh, I didn't even know. I was just so... I think you're so naive as a first-time parent. I did not know a single person who had a preemie. I just didn't know it was a thing. It was just like not even an option in my mind. Yeah. And it was just one of those things. My water broke. He was born. I was terrified. Wow. Like, I just had no idea what I was navigating there. So he was in the hospital for like 7 weeks before he came home.
Okay. How does, literally, I don't know how that works. Do you get to stay in the hospital with them or what?
No, you don't. So they get rid of you. Like, they're like, you know, like in the, well, you probably, it's been a while, but like in the mother's ward, they're like, they want you out of there, right? Because there's more people coming in, and it just feels like, you feel like you're the only person giving birth, you know? So I'm like, you're going to kick me out? Like, my baby lives here. I can't leave. So you are, like, legit, like, you have to sleep on a, like, a reclining chair if you want to stay with your baby in the NICU.
That's so mean. And did you have natural childbirth or was it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep,
okay.
Natural childbirth. It was all, like, the actual labor piece was a breeze. But, yeah, he was 4 pounds. He was... Ooh. Super small, and it was very traumatic for me, and that was definitely like the start of my postpartum anxiety that my boomer mom did not understand.
I can't imagine what it would be like to leave the baby at the hospital.
Yeah, it was horrible.
When you bring the baby home and you're like, hold on, do I need a nursing degree? Like,
yeah,
totally. I'm not qualified.
And especially like when they're in the NICU, they're hooked up to the like everything. So you literally watch every heartbeat, every breath, which as a first time mom, I'm like, well, duh. So then when I brought him home, I was so fixated on his breathing. Like I could not stop thinking about his breathing.
Yeah.
So like it was like I could not sleep because I'm like this. I have to know that he's breathing like every second of every day. And I just thought that was how everyone felt until like, you know, 6 months in, I'm like, I feel like I'm being chased by a bear right now. This is not normal.
The thing is, it is normal. It is normal to feel completely overwhelmed in a perfect situation where everything went according to plan. It's still overwhelming. So if there is something that comes in and plays a part in that, you might actually have, you know, having a NICU baby, having a preemie, you're coming home and you're like, hey, man, this clearly did not go exactly to plan. So there are things that I have to contend with. That only elevates how you feel. So it's normal. I just don't know any woman. I've never met a single woman that was like, yeah, it was pretty standard, except maybe my grandmother who had 13, because by 13, you're like, I don't care. But but I've never met a woman that was like, we've met a lot of moms that was like, you know, everything's great. I feel good.
Didn't worry. Yeah.
That's my mom, though. Like, I feel like that gender, and maybe they were taught to just ignore it. And I think that's probably a big piece of it. Like, oh, I have a big feeling. I kind of brush that under the rug type thing. That generation, because like,
gramnesia mixed in there too.
And the gramnesia. So that kind of combined with, maybe it is just that, like the gramnesia. But she was like, when I would try to process my anxiety with her, like she simply did not understand it. She's like, I just don't know what you're talking about. Like, I really don't get what you're saying.
And one thing that boomers are great at is giving advice. What did your mom give you? Like, here's how you deal with all of that. Or did she even acknowledge your anxiety?
She would just say how easy it was for her. Unfortunately, like every time. She really liked to brag about that. Like, you are the easiest babies. And her advice, it would just be very dated. Very dated. Yeah. Like, they didn't have monitors back in the day. She's like, I, you know, hardly ever remember waking up in the middle of the night with you, which probably means we were probably like crying,
screaming,
you know, yeah. They like accidentally did like cry it out method without even realizing at like 2 weeks.
She watched Dallas and she was like, I've had a Bartles and James. I'm going to let you Ferberize yourself while I go post up in my warm bed.
Yeah,
you know, but exactly. Here's what I don't normally do. I'm going to defend a boomer mentality okay. for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say something that I think that I did get from my parents, be it good or bad, is that there are times when I'm leaning into feeling a certain way and my mom's dismissal of it or my dad's dismissal of it, saying like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Like, move on. There's something mm-hmm. about that sometimes that makes me go, oh, I get to choose how big this is on the radar. Like,
yeah.
You know, my son, I think about this and I like my back starts to sweat. My son, he was the opposite of a preemie. He was 9 pounds. I think he came out smoking a cigar.
doing your taxes.
He was yes. doing my taxes. He looked like George Clooney. He had a George Clooney, big head of hair. So I brought this kid home and I wedged him between two pillows and I was trying to fold laundry. And I went and got the laundry from literally maybe 25 feet away and he fell off the bed. And to this day, I have no idea how that kid went from the center of the bed to falling off the bed. He fell off the bed. I almost barfed. I was crying so hard that my everything in me, I was like, here, see, you give me a baby and then I break it. And I called the pediatrician's office and they were like, it literally happens to everybody. Mm-hmm. I was like, that doesn't make me feel better. So I talked to Jen and Jen's mom was like, so
is the baby breathing? Do its eyes look weird? Breathing? Baby's fine.
Is there any bruising on the head?
She's a medical professional.
She's a physician's assistant.
But she yeah. also that she was a boomer. And I agree, Kristen, I would never, you know, I'm never going to defend boomers, but I feel the same. And I'm trying to like implement that now or add that into my parenting where I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
Shake it off. Brush the dust.
Sometimes yeah, that like old that. School mentality.
Because
yeah.
Like,
the pendulum swung almost a little too hard.
Yeah.
I'd
yeah.
say with parenting these days. And that's yeah. like in my writing, that's why I love boomer mom as an antagonist to my millennial mom. Because yeah. millennial mom's not always right. She is really uptight a lot of the time and her rules are a little too intense at times. So I like how those two characters riff on one another. It's like a really good, it's a good dynamic.
What is next for you? You have to keep doing this. You are doing God's work. You are bringing levity to hard times. So what's coming up for you?
I want to double down on this comedy thing. I love it. So my plan Great. Is to eventually step away from the boring finance job.
Please. I'm so sorry I said that. I won't sleep yeah. about that, just so you know. Just so you know, I'm going to beat myself up for a long time.
I'm going to have to deal with her on the plane. She's going to go, I really feel bad that I said the boring finance job.
Look, you're smart, you're funny, you're successful. Can I take you down a notch? That's how I'm a Gen
Xer. You didn't mean it like that.
I just made
that joke.
I can't do math. Okay.
Yeah. I want to expand the character universe. That's another, yes. another thing I'd love to do. Maybe throw a Gen X character in there. So
go easy on the Gen Xers.
I'll have to draw some inspiration.
Show us some mercy. A lot of us came from highly dysfunctional homes. Okay.
I know. I think people don't make fun of us because they know what we dealt with.
Yeah.
I think they're like, they're being nice to us because they're like, those fuckers didn't feel loved for a long time.
Yeah.
No.
Like,
we're gonna all just give Gen X a break.
Thank you so, so much for joining us today. You're just delightful and you're so funny.
So your job is very interesting.
Super interesting.
The comedy one. Yeah.
It's really interesting. Can we talk about, we didn't get to talk about finance enough. Can we circle back to
that? Let's do part two.
Okay, we'll do part two. Everybody tune in for learning about finance. I'm horrible. Thank you so, so much. Is she mad at me?
The way you know you're loved in this space.
Boring.
Well, I know you do, but if someone's career choice is that.
I shouldn't have said it. She probably makes so much more money than me. God.
For sure. But I'm saying that if you're our friend and we invite you on this podcast, we're not going to treat you with tender gloves. That's literally what we've just been talking about. I
know. Look, nobody cares. Try
nobody
harder.
Cares. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
She's lovely. So follow her. Make sure you rate, review, subscribe. That was our first guest. It felt pretty good.
Yeah, felt pretty good.
Did we just podcast?
I think we podcasted.
With an I.
Pioneer.